Join us for our scripture reading today in John chapter 17. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Just as I am not of the world, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth.
Well, good morning, Lighthouse. So excited for this lesson today. So I will be teaching today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chuy Ortega, and I lead the youth ministry. My wife and I lead the youth ministry here. So you get to put up with me today. Woo! This is our last week in Not of This World, which we're focusing on mission today, okay? And I'm really excited to dig in this. So would you join me as we pray, all right? Lord, we want to thank you for this morning. God, that we're here, that we're alive, that we came to church today. We could have been anywhere else, but you led us and you brought us here. So we ask that you would just open up our hearts, our minds, our ears, our eyes to be able to receive your word. So we thank you for the gift of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So what does mission mean in a practical way? Really, what does it mean? You know, it may be a mission through your career, because all of us are on a mission one way or another. It could be at work. It could be a mission with your family, like your mission is to raise your family in the Lord. It could be a mission to go across seas. It could be a mission just in everyday walks of life, like for instance, you know, if you go to school, the school is your mission field. So, or it may just mean to get through the day without falling into the temptations of this world. That could be your mission, like a day-to-day thing, just to get by. You know, so whatever the mission is, every single one of us are on a mission. I remember as a kid, I would pretend to be a secret agent who was on a mission to save the world. I would often use my little unwilling cousin Roy to be the villain. Right? And then it would be a cat and mouse game to see who would destroy each other first. And maybe that's why he was always unwilling to play. And if you're watching this, Roy, thank you for your sacrifices, bro. Oh. But you get it, right? It's like our soul is created to be on some kind of mission, you know? Like part of us, we just have that draw to be on mission somewhere. But the ball is in your court. So I'm going to ask you, what is your mission, right? What is the heart of worship, of your worship? Because billions of people have chosen the things of this world to be their mission. Billions of people have chosen the things of this world to worship, right? I firmly believe that Matthew 20:19 is our mission in this world. Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." This is what it ultimately comes down to. My life mission used to be about money, power, and fame. You see, wealth, positions of authority, fame, those are not bad things, right? It's when we make those our life mission, when we worship those things, when we lift those things higher than God, that's when it becomes bad. That's when we make it sinful. Humanity is so notorious for turning something good into bad. Something bad. We're really good at that. You know, like the leaves, when the season comes, the leaves are appointed to fall. They do. They fall. They listen to their creator. But human beings, we do what we want. We defy our creator, and we do anything that we want to do. So everything is on mission. Everybody is on mission. You know, we are on mission in this world, and we are not of this world. We are not of this world. We're actually aliens. The Bible says we're foreigners, sojourners, travelers. You know, I have a good illustration for you guys. We live in this world, but we just don't mix. You know, we just don't mix. So for this illustration, I mean a participant. So hey, you, can you come up real quick, Mr. Randall? Let's see. Here we go. All right. So I have this container right here, and what I need you to do is to use that funnel and fill it about halfway with water first, Okay? Put the funnel in and just fill it up with water. Yeah, there you go. About halfway with water. There you go. You keep a steady hand. You ain't ticklish, are you? Yeah? No? Okay, good. That's youth ministry, guys, okay? So, okay, there it goes. Give him a round of applause, by the way, because I wouldn't drink that if I were you. Okay, oh, a little bit more. All right, so we can get a good view of this. This is going to be a great illustration. So now that you filled that up, go ahead and take this oil. I got some motor oil right here is used. Go ahead and fill that baby up. Don't try this at home, kids. Here we go. Still not ticklish, right? Oh, okay, good. Look at this. Wow. This is our illustration. You know, we live in the world, but we just don't belong to the world. We don't mix with the things of the world, right? We just don't mix. That's good right there. No casualties. Sweet. I was hoping I wasn't going to stain the carpet because then you'd have to buy carpet for the whole room, and I would hate for you to have to do that, bro. All right. Thank you very much. You can set it down. And give him a round of applause. Thank you. You see, we are not of this world. We don't mix. Just like this oil and water, right? You can see the difference. There's things that should separate us from the world. Yeah, we live here. Yeah, we have an American culture. But there's things that we just don't do. And we're going to get into that. So I'm going to keep this right here so you guys can watch it. But just like water and oil, we don't mix. Remember, we learned this month that we're not to be anti-world and we're not to fully assimilate into the culture of this world. Like, where do we stand in it? Well, Jeremiah talks about how we go into Babylon and we, you know, we live life. We pray for the welfare of our city, of our nation. We pray for people. We want our nation to prosper, but we don't follow the culture as far as worshiping other gods and having idols and all these other things. Like, that's just something we don't do. We shouldn't mix with the things of the world. There should be a difference in us. There really should be. So we're together here in this world, guys, and you know, the differences can be challenging, but being set apart as children of God is worth the tension, is worth the mockery, is worth whatever it is. It is so worth it because he is worth it to us. You know, well, let's see what God's word says about this. I want to read that again. John 17, 14 through 19. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. You know, my first point today is focused on verse 14, where Jesus says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. So the world hates us. Why would the world hate us? You know, I remember before I gave my life to Christ, I grew up in hate. I was taught to hate certain people, hate people with certain differences. So when I gave my life to Christ, I put hate on the shelf, right? I turned, that chapter's closed in my life. But then I started reading that the world was going to hate me. I'm like, man, the world doesn't even know me. How can you hate somebody you don't know? And I remember thinking about this, that moment I gave my life to Christ, I knew that my relationship with the world had to change. It had to change. And literally, it was a relationship. I was in a relationship, a toxic one, with the world. And those of you that are here, every single one of us, at one point or another, have been in a relationship with the world. And those of you who have been raised in church, like, the world is there and waiting for you to go and start that relationship. You know, so I didn't get the concept, really, to an extent that I was in this relationship. You know, God tells us to hate the things of the world, like not to love the things of the world. And it's not because he wants us to miss out. I see this a lot in the youth, and you know, I work with a lot of the youth. The youth don't want to miss out oftentimes on the things of the world. So they say, I want to do this. I need to get involved in that. Yeah, I know this is wrong, but I don't want to miss out, Chewy. And I say, guys, God doesn't want you to be separate from the world because he's mean, because he wants you to miss out. He does it because he knows having a dangerous, toxic relationship with the world will drain the life out of you. It will. It will drain the life out of you. In 1 John 2:15 through 17, it says this: do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but it is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. You see, when someone is unfaithful in a relationship, they're said to have a side chick or side dude. You guys know that saying, right? They have a side guy or side girl. And to some of us, that's a hurtful topic to bring up because we've been hurt in that department. Well, guess what? In all reality, we are the ones that have been unfaithful in one aspect or another, from one degree to another, with our relationship with God. Because humans have a tendency to fluctuate in their relationship with the Lord. I mean, personally speaking, I've put things before God, right? I've doubted God's goodness. I've struggled in certain areas. We all have one area, at least, that we just really don't want to give to God, or it's hard to relinquish that power and give it to God. Say, God, you control my life. Yes, you have my life, but this one area, that's mine. You know, I gotta run with that one. So we all know what it's like for us to be unfaithful in a sense when it comes to our relationship. So we can't be in a solid relationship with the Lord, a healthy relationship with the Lord, and be in a relationship with the world. It just doesn't work like that, guys. Matthew 6:24 says this: no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You see, again, it says money here. You know, money is not bad, but the love of money is bad, right? We take something good and we make something bad out of it. That's what humans do. So God doesn't want us to have a side God. You know, he's a jealous God because our hearts belong to him and him alone. Every single one of our hearts has a throne on it. And that throne was created for God. And that's his rightful spot on our hearts, right? So no wonder it hurts him when he sees us remove him from that throne and we put worldly things on there. It hurts. I can imagine that God, that's why he says, you know, that the world is going to hate you. Don't serve the things of this world, right? Don't worship other idols. So no wonder he's a jealous God, watching something like that, somebody you love, and they remove you from the throne of your heart, and you put who knows what else on there. You fill in that gap. So, but just remember, because God says that he's jealous, it doesn't mean that we can be jealous as well, right? We can't be jealous without sinning. God can be jealous in a righteous way that doesn't have the human sin nature there, right? So God can do it. And I can hear a lot of you guys right now thinking, I'm just imitating the Lord, right? I'm just a little jealousy here. And that's not the way it works. So let me be real with you guys. I need to drink some water before I get into this. So I love my wife, right? My wife is an amazing person. You know, she's faithful, she loves the Lord, and she's a Latina. So Latinas can be kind of crazy, okay? I said it, get over it. Latinas can be kind of crazy, right? I love her. She's solid, faithful, beautiful person inside and out. So, but I go above and beyond to make sure I don't put her in a situation that she gets jealous, right? As a man of God, as a husband, I try to go the extra mile to make sure she doesn't get jealous. Even in her dreams, if I could go in her dreams and control her dreams so she's not even jealous in her dreams, I would do that, but I can't. I can't. I'm a human being. You know, I've woken up to the death stare more than once in my life. You know that feeling where your heart is like beating fast and you know you're in danger, but you don't know where it's coming from. And then you look and then she's giving you the death look. She's like, uh-huh. And I'm like, I'm in bed and I'm trying to pull the covers over my face. I'm like, hey, babe. And she's like, did you have fun? I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, did you have fun? She goes, you're having fun in my dreams letting that girl flirt with you. I'm like, babe, that's just a dream. I can't control your dreams. She's like, still, you should have walked away in that dream, you know? So Latinas and jealousy just don't mix. It's kind of like this right here, you know? It just doesn't mix well. So now that you guys got my point, so God is a jealous God. He doesn't want us, you know, messing around. He wants us to be faithful. You know, it can hurt his heart when we do these things. You know, so you get my point, right? God is a jealous God in a holy, righteous way. Secondly, the reason why he doesn't want us to do these things, to have a relationship with the world, is because he knows the world is a dangerous, toxic relationship, and it will drain the life out of us. You know, anybody here ever been through a toxic relationship or had family or friends or somebody that was in a really bad toxic relationship? You know, they can get put through so many stuff, like bad things. And I, you know, Hope and I being and working a lot in marriage ministry and counseling with youth and young adults and stuff, we've seen a lot of toxic relationships, and we see them a mile away, and we tell the person who's going through it, like, run, Forrest, run. You know, just get away from it. Just run. You know, in some cases, the person goes through so much emotional and physical abuse that they have some irrational belief that they're going to change the person, or that somehow they deserve it, or somehow that this is the best that they're going to get in this toxic relationship. You know, in some cases, they believe it and they become trapped. Now, I'm all for fighting for a relationship, guys, but there's just some things that you shouldn't have to put up with in a toxic relationship. So imagine how hurtful it is to the Lord when he sees us go back to the world or swap him out for the things of the world that are toxic, you know? And so basically, we were in a relationship with the world, but we broke it off. And we committed our hearts to Christ. We broke up with the world, right? And we upgraded in our relationship. So basically, the world is mad. The world hates you, right? The world isn't happy that you broke the relationship off. I mean, come on. No wonder the world hates you, because we were serving the world on our hands and our feet while it was abusive to us, while it was toxic, and it would whisper sweet nothings in our ear, and we would fall for the tricks and the lies. So when we broke up with the world, it was a nasty breakup, one of those bad ones. I'm talking about stalker status, restraining order, witness protection, one of those bad breakups, because the world didn't want to let you go. You know, I kind of see why he says, like, you can't follow two masters. You can't be with the world and be with me. It's toxic. So you understand what I'm saying? For even those of you who were born and raised in the church, even you, Christ died for you while you were enemies with him. He died for you while you were enemies. You were separated from God through sin. So Jesus died and bridged that gap so you could be raised in the church, right? So your family could bring you, and you could be raised up in the ways of the Lord. But again, the world is waiting. The world is like that thirsty, toxic relationship who's just waiting for you for your eyes to start wandering in your relationship with the Lord, checking to see if the grass is greener on the other side when it comes to your relationship with the Lord. The world is waiting. You know, so the world hates us. Jesus actually says that we should pray for those that hate us. So if the world hates us, we should be praying for the people in the world. We should be praying for our families, for our friends, for those who are still trapped in that toxic relationship. And it is. And people really don't see it when they're in the midst of it. You know, it's when they come out. When I came out of that, I was like, wow. It's like, that was such a bad relationship. It's like, I don't know how I fell for those sweet nothings, you know? And so the world hates us for that. So if you want to see me get stressed out, I'll just watch the news for like 2 minutes, okay? And I get beyond stressed out. I start biting my nails and I start getting stressed. So I make it a point not to watch the news. But I'm not knocking you. If you watch the news and you let the narrative play out through your life and kind of set the course of how you view the world, then that's your thing, but it's not mine. I don't watch the news just because the culture is like an antichrist culture. You thought it, I thought it was bad when I was a kid, the stuff going around. You hear the crap that's going on now? It's bad. Like, it's straight up anti-Christ, the things in this world that the youth are being taught. So those who don't know the word are being taught these crazy things, and our biblically illiterate brothers and sisters who don't know the word are being manipulated and are being deceived into following the patterns of this world, guys. So the world needs our prayers now more than ever. The youth of this nation need our prayers now more than ever. Like, it's serious stuff. So Jesus says that I have given them your word, and the world hates them. One of the greatest gifts God has given to mankind is his word. That's straight up. It's like giving humanity who lives in darkness the first light to be able to navigate and see what they're doing. So Psalms 119 says this: your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The gift to mankind allows us to see where we're going. I can't imagine taking, you know, going night hiking or something, and I could only see what's in front of me because of the light, and turning off the light or going off the path in the darkness. I'm going to get myself into all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, that's why we need the light, the word of God. So one way the evil one is attacking our faith is, just an example, is through progressive Christianity. It's a movement inside the church, right? Progressive Christianity, and you guys have heard Greg talk about this. They take out all the miraculous things in the Bible, like Moses parting the water and, you know, Jesus walking on water, all these miraculous things. They remove it. And a lot of these stories, they say, are the man-made parts of the Bible. They're the parts that have been contaminated by man. So we're going to remove it out of the Bible, and we're giving you the solid stuff that's only solidly written by God himself. And so they call me a traditionalist, because I still believe that and God works miracles. I believe that Jesus walked on water. I believe in the atonement. I believe that he rose from the dead. So call me a traditionalist if you want. I'm proud to be called that, you know? Right? Amen? So this movement is in the church, right? It's in the church. And what a great, crafty way for the enemy to attack the church is to get us to break up with each other from within, right? From within. It's so crazy to when I think about this. So it's so vital that we know God's word. I often tell the youth here at Lighthouse, don't just take my word for it. You know, go jump into the word, read the Bible, see what it says, because I could be teaching you anything I want. Who knows what I could be teaching if I was influenced by the evil one. So we go to God's word to verify, right? And that's what the gift of God's word to mankind is that we're able to use that as a guideline to see what separates us from the world. And the whole progressive movement of you know, the enemy using the church against itself, it's a crafty one. It's like taking this and you shake it up, and we're like trying to sift through what's real, what's not. But if we stand in the word and we use God's word, it's going to separate. We just don't mix. No matter how hard you mix it, no matter what the devil throws at this church, like, God stands, his word will pierce through anything. And it's so vital that we stick in our words, in God's word, and we navigate our life. We have that light on, right? It lights up our path. We shouldn't be walking in darkness, because we can get caught up in all kinds of junk. There's so much evil out there, guys, and it's not going to get better. Which brings me to my second point, which is focused on verse 15 and 16. Jesus says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So Jesus is actually not saying that we should be removed from the world, that we should stay in the world, right? We're on mission. Matthew 28:19, that I send you out into the world. He sends us to share the gospel to all nations. So we are on mission here in this world. We are on mission. And so God doesn't want us to be removed. He wants us to be here. But he asks that we be kept from the evil one. Because like what I said earlier, the evil one comes in all different ways, right? Comes in the church and tries to get the church to divide itself. I remember when I first watched the Mission Impossible movies. When they came out, I was so thrilled. A secret agent on a secret mission to save the world, right, against impossible odds. You know, he's always on mission. You know, when I think about these movies, like the guy's always on mission. He's determined and he's focused. So we are on mission. We are on mission in this world. So just like those movies, there was a villain whose mission was to stop your mission. Their mission was to sabotage it to make sure it didn't come to pass. You know, so just like in the movies, we are on mission, and there is an evil one who their mission is to sabotage us, to make you know, so nothing comes to pass out of our labor and our reaching out to people, sharing the gospel. But as you can see, it's, you know, nothing can stand against the word of God, right? Nothing can. And so the point, it points to the reality that the evil one really is out there, and he wants to sabotage our mission, and it's true. So, well, the evil one, he influences the world. He influences the world, right? That's why we should not be of the world, because the things are being influenced by the evil one. And the evil one is always around prowling, plotting, looking for ways to sabotage your mission. So you remember the old school Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote cartoons? I love those cartoons. That Roadrunner was always a step ahead of this coyote. And a lot, maybe some of the younger generation doesn't know what I'm talking about, but it was pretty funny. This, the Wile E. Coyote. So when I gave my life to Christ back in 2006, I remember reading from the King James Version, Ephesians 6:11, and it says this: "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And I've never heard that word, and only in that cartoon, Wile E. Coyote. And I began to think, I'm like, that coyote was crazy. He went through all kinds of crazy, desperate measures to try and trap this Roadrunner. I mean, he would do, usually it'd turn around and bit him in the butt, you know. But when I think about it, that's how the enemy is. He used schemes, tricks. So think about it. The evil one is like the Wile E. Coyote. The mission is to catch you. The mission is to stop your mission. That's what it is. So think about the mission. Jesus sends us to spread the gospel. What does that look like? Really, what does it look like? Some feel the calling to go across the oceans, to go across the seas, to share the gospel. Others, they may feel to do local evangelism, sharing the word. You know, maybe it's you're going on the corner with the loudspeaker or passing out flyers, whatever it looks like, you know, or maybe you're one of the persons who go on a mission one time in your life and it's done. It's like, you know what, I went on my mission and I served the Lord, so now it's done. Like, mission is past me. I don't have to go anymore, right? Like, it's done. I did my work for the Lord. So what does mission look like for you? Let me speak some truth into your life. Get ready for this one. Being on a mission is an everyday lifestyle that we live. Being on a mission is an everyday lifestyle that we live every day. It's the little things of our everyday life. Being on mission is played out at home. I like to tell people, you want to save the world, start at home, right? You want to change the world, start at home. It starts at home. Loving your friends, your family, sharing the gospel with people, being Christ-like, being quick to forgive one another. At your employment, being on mission is there as well. It's a lifestyle. It really is. Being Christ-like at work, working with integrity, shining your light, standing up for God's truth. There should be something different about us. We just don't mix. We just don't mix. Being on mission is something we do every day, guys. It's not just a one-time mission that we do in our youth and then we move on in life. It's an everyday thing. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't do all those things. We should. It's awesome. Some of us have callings to go across the seas and to be in the mission field. So that's what being on mission looks like for every single one of us. You know, and again, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying those things are bad. I'm saying that it should be every day. It should be good old-fashioned love in action. Good old-fashioned love in action. So a good place to start mission is maybe right now God is speaking to you and you have that tug on your heart. You're like, man, I always felt like God has called me to do something, to be on some kind of mission or to share the gospel or something. I've had that tug on my heart. Well, guess where it starts as well? A good place to start is at your local church. That's a good place to jump into the mission field. Yeah, I know no church is perfect. There's going to be sinners around. There's going to, you know, things are going to happen. But get involved in your church. That's how we take that first step in the mission field. Just go into church. Get plugged in. Serve. Don't come expected for people to serve you, right? Jesus came into the world to serve, not to be served, right? So it's important that we know that. So we could use help in children's ministry, youth ministry, the nursery. VBS is coming up. And you guys saw our Easter day, our egg scramble. The community is hungry for this, guys. We need a taste of normal back. We need to open our doors back up and bring people in. So we're expecting a huge turnout for VBS, and we need helpers. That's the mission field. Get involved. See, find out what your calling is, right? Let's walk through this together. And we want to be on the mission field every day. So I'm excited for these things. And, you know, there's church security. Let's start with mentorship and internship. Like, we can do all that stuff, guys. We want to walk with you guys. Take that step of faith and let's do mission together, right? Let's do it together. And some people are called to be pastors. Some people are called to bring snacks to youth group, you know? There's a lot of room for your calling. So when the world hears the word Christianity, a lot of different things come to mind. When that word pops up, some good, some bad. Maybe they think of things like religion, judgmental, hypocrites, hateful, boring, weird, pushy. Also, they may think of some good things like loving, honesty, forgiving, joyful, peaceful, kind, grateful. So let me ask you, what does the world think when they hear the word Lighthouse Church? What does the world think? What does the world think when they hear Chuy Ortega? What does the world think when they hear your name, right? What do they hear? There should be a difference in us that separates us from the world, right? People should see us and be like, man, something different about this person. You know, why are they so loving? Or, you know, why are they so joyful in the hard times and when things are going tough? Like, they have, like, a hopeful attitude. There should be a difference. So thinking about this, Jesus is asking that we be kept from the evil one because he knows that we're on mission in this world. He asks that we be kept from the evil one. So even on mission, guys, we can fall into temptation. We could be deceived into following the patterns of this world, this antichrist culture, because that's what it feels like. It feels like an antichrist culture, like the things going around are opposing the things of God, right? Opposing the things of Christ. So here's a perfect example, the movie Avatar by James Cameron. You know the one with the blue aliens? I love that movie. It's a really good movie. So the example of this is that the secret agent comes into this mission field, right? And he's supposed to infiltrate the enemy, and he's supposed to, like, he has his own mission that he has to do. But in the midst of it, he ends up going into their culture. They change his heart, and he starts working for the enemy. He takes on their culture. He takes on their beliefs. So the very opposite of what he was trying to do. So we have to be careful while we're on mission in this world. There are countless stories, guys, of pastors, ministries who get a burden to reach out to different, you know, areas in this world. Like an example, the sex industry. You know, somebody will have the burden to reach out into the pornography industry or the prostitution. And we have to be careful because people fall into temptation. Somehow, their lives get turned upside down, and the very thing that they were working against now becomes part of their lifestyle. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says this, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." You know, this could be seen in many different areas, not just in the sex industry, but embezzlement, domestic abuse, atheism, even progressive Christianity. So no wonder Jesus prays that we be kept from the evil one. I'm not saying this to put fear in you guys. I want you guys to know that this is real stuff. Like, there's casualties in war, because this is a war. This is a warfare that we're in, you know? And so Jesus asked that we be kept from the evil one, and the way we do that is by being sanctified through his word. How is it that we live in this world, but we're not of this world, and the world hates us, right? And that we should be kept from the evil one. Well, how do we do that? Through the sanctification of God's word. And that, which brings me to my next point, which is focused on verse 18, 17, 18, and 19. It says this, "As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth." Sanctified in truth. So we know that the world hates us. We know that Jesus prays that we be kept away from the evil one. Now Jesus is asking that we be sanctified through his word. Sanctified through his truth. That kind of sounds cool, huh? Sanctified through his truth. Well, you know, we know that upon our salvation that we are sanctified positionally, right? That something happens in the spirit and we're cleansed of all of our sin and you know, we're filled up with the Spirit of God and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you know, and so on and so on. So there's a positional sanctification that we have through the Lord, that we're made clean through Jesus, right? Apart from Christ, we can't do that. There's no amount of good rules. No matter how many times you stop to change a tire with the little old lady broken down on the side of the road, no matter what you do, we can't get to heaven based on our good works. It comes through the atonement of Jesus. And that's the sanctified process. That's sanctification. So if you have Jesus, you're sanctified. And then we know that there's another one, another sanctification of being set apart for kingdom work. It's that day-to-day process of becoming Christ-like. It's that day-to-day process of being Christ-like. And this is real stuff, you know. It's an ongoing thing. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, "But I discipline my body and keep it under, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." And then Jesus says in Luke 9:23, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." You see, God's word is alive, guys. God's word is alive. God's word equips us to be on mission in this world. He equips us. He sanctifies us. Remember, he shows us the things that are real and the things that are not real. God's word is the guideline that we use, that is the truth above all truths. And that's something that we need to believe, as something that we should hold dear to us. You know, so God's word is alive. It can change a person's heart. You know, I can attest to that. You know, there was a time where I lived in darkness. Like I told you, I lived in hate. You know, I didn't really know that there was a way out of the way I was living. And when somebody shared the gospel with me, I always saw the crucifix on my grandma's wall, but I never grasped the concept that that it was for me, that Jesus died on the cross for me. And so I was sitting in a jail cell when I heard the gospel. And I remember sitting there, and I was kind of mad because people were bugging me, "Hey, you want to come to church, Chewy?" You know, and thank God for perseverance and faithfulness, because these guys are always like, "Chewy, you want to come to church?" I'm like, "Nope, no thank you." You know, "Chewy," the next day, "Chewy, you want to go to church?" I'm like, "Nope, I'm not a weirdo like you guys, you know. Chewy, you want to come?" Just constantly. And finally, I was like, okay, leave me alone already. I'll go to your darn Bible study. And so I'm sitting in there, grumpy as could be, right? Not believing any of this, got my legs crossed, and I'm just mad, just looking at all these weird people believing in a God that they've never seen or anything, right? So I'm just not grasping this concept. And then when I heard the gospel, man, I mean, it literally, my ears opened up and I jumped up and I disrupted the Bible study. And I looked at the guy who was preaching on the side. I said, wait a minute. Are you telling me that somebody like me can go to heaven? And the guy, he's like, yeah. He goes, "That's grace. Christ died on the cross for everybody, especially you." And I was like, whoa. I thought the only ones who go to heaven were like the sweet little old ladies that never cussed a day in their life, or the people who've given all their money to the church and things like that. I was like, I didn't know it was for regular people, for sinners like me. And so I remember just God speaking to me, and it was so overwhelming. You know, I've been overwhelmed by a lot of things, not in a good way. I've been overwhelmed by stress. I've been overwhelmed by anxiety, you know? And when I felt the presence of God for the first time, it was so overwhelming in a good way. I couldn't stand. And I remember falling to my knees, and I just started crying. I haven't cried for years. I just started crying and crying, and this guy was praying for me through the bars, and I heard a voice inside of my head. This voice says, "Chewy, now you can see." And I remember thinking like, whoa, God's voice, was that God's voice? And he called me by name. God called me by name. And he says, now you can see. He gave me vision. So I remember when I was on my knees, I opened up my eyes. Everything looked different, like my hands. I mean, it was everything was new and like a light switch turned on. And I've never been the same since. So I know that God's word can change people's hearts. And I thank God for the mission field. I thank God for all those people who kept bugging me and bugging me to go to Bible study. I thank God for the people who take their time out of their day, go into that jail cell and preach the gospel. So, and remember, God's word sanctifies our heart. So I know God could change people. He's changed me, right? He's done it. And I'm not talking about cleaning the cup from the outside and leaving the inside filthy. Jesus says that's foolish. God's primary focus is your heart. Because if you have a heart, if you have a heart that can change, it begins to shape your lifestyle, guys. You know, there was this kid who, in our youth ministry, who fell out of a tree and he got hurt really bad. And the mom called me up. She's like, Chewy, we need you here. Like, he's hurt really bad. Can you come pray with us? Can you come lay hands on him in the hospital and pray, please? So I'm like, man, you got it. And I go over there, and I take my anointing oil, and I start praying for this family. I lay hands on this kid who's in this bed, and God starts moving. And not too later after that, one of the employees comes up, and they say, ma'am, would you like us to call a minister up to come and to pray with you guys? And she goes, oh, no, thank you. We have our minister here. This lady looks at me from, like, my shoes, looks up, and then she looks back at them like, this is your minister, right? Kind of a thing. So I know what I'm talking about when I'm saying it's like, it's not about the outside, right? God's focus is on the heart. It's on the inside. And if there's things that need to change on the outside, first comes the heart change, right? And then our lifestyle begins to change. So I'm not just talking about looking the part and not having the heart. I'm talking about having the heart, right? You have to have the heart. And you don't have to look the part, right? We can come to church every Sunday and play the part, right? I can put my Christian hat on, I can do my thing, and then leave on Monday and forget about it. It's about a heart change. It's about the inside that matters. So that's the story of my life right there, guys. You know, I'm always constantly balancing that whole thing. It's like, I don't care what people think about me. You know, I don't fit a typical pastor, whatever they look like. I'm okay with that. And then the other part is like, well, I don't want to be a stumbling block for people. I want to have a good reputation in the community. So it's a constant balance for me, and it's the story of my life, you know. But the purpose of sanctification is for the heart, right? Not necessarily for the outside appearance, but it's for the heart. You know, it's really important. So you're the clay, and God uses the word through the Holy Spirit to shape and mold you, to sanctify you. As you're on mission here in this world, God equips you to go through the sanctification process. Our God doesn't say, good luck in the jungle. You know, he actually gives you his spirit and equips you to be sanctified. He does. He equips you to be sanctified. You know, Jesus said in verse 18, he says, just as you have sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world. Literally, you are sent into the world, and the word of God is a guideline. There's things that we just don't do, guys. There's gray areas in the Bible. What I mean by gray areas is like the Bible says to dress modestly. Well, to one person, that could mean, you know, a skirt that's this length. Guys maybe shouldn't wear tank tops, or should they? You know, should the clothes be really form-fitting, or shouldn't? Those are gray areas where you figure out on your own conviction with the Lord. It's not for me to look at your dress and get my tape measure. I'd be like, you didn't pass the test, you know? It's not about that. Sanctification is for you and your life, right? And that's just the way it should be. But there's things that we shouldn't do. God's word helps us to be sanctified. So there's a separation of us. And even when things get mixed up and things get chaotic and we don't know where the world's going, you know, the evil things infiltrate the church and mix things up, like, still, God's word is the defining thing, guys. It's going to separate us from the world. It's so true, and it's so important that we know this, you know? And again, like those gray areas,
that's for you to decide your own walk with Christ. But there's capital T thing, capital truths that we know there's no ands, ifs, or buts. Like we shouldn't commit adultery, we shouldn't murder, we shouldn't hate, we shouldn't worship other gods, we shouldn't have sex out of marriage, we shouldn't put pineapple on pizza, you know, so on and so on. There's capital T things that we know we just can't do. And that's what separates us, guys. See, the word teaches us where we need to draw those lines according to Scripture, according to our relationship. The Word of God shows us where to draw those lines. There has to be some difference between you and the world. There's things we just don't do. So sanctification through God's Word is an amazing thing. We shouldn't shy away from that, guys. We shouldn't shy away from the sanctification department. You know, it's an amazing thing, and I just want to say we're going to make mistakes here while we're on mission. It's going to happen. But let God's Word sanctify you. Be equipped to do mission in this world. It's a process. You know, when I first gave my heart to Christ, I still wanted to do those evil things of the world. It wasn't like, for me, it wasn't like an instantaneous, like, things are different now. Like, I have no desire. I only want to do good. You know, it's not like that. There was part of me, I was still angry, right? My first thought when somebody got in my face wasn't to pray for them, right? I came from that lifestyle where it was a process of sanctification, right? So I thank God now that I don't have to fulfill those desires anymore, because there was a point where I had to do it. I had no choice, but now I'm free. Believe me, 17 years ago, I never would have thought that I'd be up here talking to you guys about sanctification, right? I'd be like, you're crazy, you know? So take that first step. Imagine what God can do with you. Everybody is on mission. And let's grow in the Lord through His Word. You know, I just want to, what if we came into the church and you were dressed as, you're like, we can see what you really look like through your growth in Christ, right? Are you a babe in Christ? Or are you mature, maturing? So imagine a 35-year-old man comes in and all he has is a diaper on and a baby bottle with milk, right? And he's got a couple toys and he's walking in here and his spouse is the one who's got his extra bottle, his toys to keep him occupied while they're playing in church. And I just want to say it already, okay? I'm going to say it. Grow up, right? Let's grow together in the faith. We shouldn't stay babies in Christ. We should grow, right? And of course, my relationship doesn't look like yours. Yours doesn't look like mine. We shouldn't compare ourselves to each other. We compare ourselves to the Word of God, but we should grow, right? The sanctification process grows us in our faith. And so I, for one, don't want to be the baby, like being a grown man dressing like a baby when it comes to the faith department. You know, I want to be sanctified. I want God's Word to mold me and to shape me, you know? So we should be growing in our faith. We are not of this world. So remember, we're on mission in this world to shine our lights every day at home, at work, across the seas, wherever you're at. So the world hates us now. The culture is against you. The evil one is trying to sabotage the mission and hopes to get your heart to change, to go to the world. And Jesus asked that we be sanctified in His truth, being equipped to do those good deeds here in this world while we are on mission. Just like the oil and water shouldn't mix, we shouldn't mix with the world. Yeah, you're going to be hated on. You're going to be called a religious freak. You're going to be laughed at. You're going to be seen as awkward because you don't follow the ways of the world. There's those things where we draw the lines. We're like, I just can't do that, you know? They're going to be like, whoa, you weirdo. Oh, you're a religious guy, huh? Where if you have to deal with that, Jesus says if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, you're going to be blessed. He says if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, you're going to be blessed. And so I don't know about you, but I'm ready to be blessed. I'm ready to stand on God's word. I'm not going to bow to the things of this world. I'm not going to follow the culture that is antichrist. I'm standing firm on my faith, and my God equips me through His word to be sanctified and to be on mission while I'm in this world. And so I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go on mission today. And if you're ready, say amen. If you're ready, right? So Jesus is worth the cost, guys, of being on mission, right? The world hates us. Break up with that relationship with the world, right? You can do better than that, right? God's got you. The world hates you. The evil one is after you, so God asks that you be sanctified through His word. So I'm going to have my my wife, my beautiful wife, come up. She's going to close this off in prayer. So thank you guys. Here in a little bit, we're going to do communion together. So God bless you guys. Thank you.
Amen. So after youth services, I always come up and I just pray for the kids. And so kids, we're going to pray. Just kidding. Also, just so we know, I'm also in the sanctification process. So what he said earlier, that's under the sanctification process, right? All right, let's pray. Father, we just pray Colossians 3 over your people this morning, where we take off the old and we put away the things of this world, and we put on our new self that's hidden with you, Christ. Father, we put on compassionate hearts, kindness with one another, humility, God, where we lay our lives down. Father, we also are patiently waiting for you to come back for us. So, Father, we just pray for all of us as one. If we need to step into the mission field, remind us, God. Mend what is broken and help us to continue on serving you and serving the people. So we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.